Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Good mention on an email, from Dan for one of the best home runs or a favorite home run is one that Bartolo Colon hit. Which I think I saw, like Mets Padres, maybe that was. I mean, Colon hitting a home run that's pretty good. Judge last night, even Guerrero's in the first inning was boss, right? I mean, it's 2-0, and he's coming off those games in Toronto, just like no doubter in the first. But Jays couldn't hold on. With me now on the Wester Hotline, surely happy about all this, is Sal Capaccio. Sal, I was asking before, like, about the Judge homer. If people had an all-time favorite home run, one woman called and said it was that last night. That was it. So I don't know if you do, but that breaks pretty good. I mean, that brought them back to life here.
Boy, you put me on the spot here. That is definitely one of them. But I think about Boone in 03.
Yeah.
I think maybe Jeter off of is against Arizona. Against the Diamondbacks.
Kim is the pitcher, right?
Young Kim, right? Is that it? Who was?
I think so.
I think so, too. I think maybe that could be the one that I would go to. I don't know. Like, that was pretty cool. Like, just, it's Jeter, right? It's Mr. Clutch, and he does it in that moment. You're like, you've got to be kidding me.
How about Jeffrey Mayer, Sal, too, against Baltimore?
Yeah.
Technically, it's a home run.
Yes. The home run that maybe shouldn't have been, right? For
right,
sure.
Definitely.
I think did Jeter lead off with one against the Mets in the Subway Series? I think he did one as well.
Like, okay.
That, remember that as well. So there's been a few along the way for sure.
I guess. That's right. Well, wild game. Wild series, Sal. Like I mentioned earlier how I went to Twitter feeling all pumped up when the Jays were up 6-1 and like just wanted to get a taste of it. And I saw a tweet from you and from other people on the Yankees, basically not exactly writing them off, but you had a tweet about like what the Jays could do in future rounds. And yeah. I don't know, how close were you to thinking it was over?
Well, before that tweet, I basically did tweet it was over. Never been so happy to possibly be on Old Takes Exposed because they could have done it. Because I said, my tweet was basically, I would say good series Blue Jays, but it certainly hasn't been a good series.
No, right.
Because it's been boring because they've just stomped on the Yankees. That's not good baseball. Like, congratulations to them. And that's when someone responded, well, they're just doing this to get beaten by a better team. And then the tweet you saw was, no, they can beat anybody with this offense. Like, they're incredible. And then literally an inning later is when everything started to happen. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And now they're in a position where, look, I mean, yes, you have to win because it's your season on the line, but you got to win tonight. I mean, this is a very winnable game with Schlittler on the mound and them going with a bullpen game. And I love the points that were made, and I agreed with this, and I thought this to myself, but I'm so glad Jeter said this, and then A-Rod said it last night on the postgame, and they're so right. The Yankees kind of got right a little bit in game two towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they started to hit the ball, and that did a lot for them. Even though it was a blowout, they started to hit the ball, and I think that actually did a lot for them going into game three.
Varland, I think, is the name of the Toronto pitcher
yes.
who was mixed up in the middle of last night's game that's starting tonight. So
yeah, he is.
They're on the ropes a little bit in their bullpen. We'll see. Every game is different. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Okay, so no Bills today with the Monday night game. It's pushed back until tomorrow. How do you feel about this game with Atlanta or just things in general? I was talking earlier about how it's very similar to last year where they've lost one now and the things that maybe bugged you about them are maybe now okay to bring up because they actually have lost a game. You don't sound like so much of a crazy person if you're complaining about this or that with the Bills. Do you feel that way?
I was listening earlier when you were talking about this. I really liked it, and I think that you're spot on. To me, like, it just feels like it's the same kind of thing over the last few years because, honestly, I don't know what it all matters right now if I say, well, I'm concerned about the secondary. Well, I'm concerned about the receivers because at the end of the day, I think they're still in the same spot at the end of the year, and then what does it matter? We don't know, right? I think that's where I am because the only difference – and, Mike, I've said this for months and months, and I think you're in the same boat, which is – the only thing left for this team is to get the one seed. Like, are any of those things we're talking about today holding them back from getting the one seed? I don't think so. So what do I do with it? I'm not really sure, to be quite honest with you. Like, I think that's right, like, to say, well, you know, the secondary's got this issue. Well, they don't have a field stretcher. We've said this for the last few years, and while they don't have the one seed, they've made it to the AFC Championship game, and they've come 3 points away from getting to a Super Bowl. And now they might have a better chance because I think they're still going to get the one seed. So I think in general, I kind of feel just like the same I have. I need to see action, though. Are they – what I think about is, do they feel like it is so there for them this year? It is so there compared to any other year that they're going to make some sort of move to say – we're making sure this doesn't hurt us. We're going to go out and get something and do something. And that's kind of where I go with it.
And that's just even itself is, of course, something that you really – there's no guarantee in that, right? I mean, it looks good and it makes sense to do it. And they, I think, too, should be willing to part with a draft pick like they did last year for to be better at a position. But it still is – you know, it's still just a gamble and somewhat of a guess. Would that be the secondary for you? As we get closer to the trade deadline, unless things change, would that be area one where you think maybe they should go get somebody?
It would be. I think it's, for me, area one. I also think for them, it could possibly be area one. And I say it for a couple reasons. Number one, yes, there's been some struggles there. Like, you know, you look at last week and even talking about, you know, even Sean McDermott bringing up the stat, like, you know, no pass breakups except for a defensive end. Like, those are things that matter. They're not getting enough play on the ball from the secondary. I also just look at numbers, Mike. I mean, they have right now numbers meaning roster-wise and names and where they are with health. Tre'Davious White, whether they believe he can be legitimate, you know, starting corner for them for the rest of the year to get them to where they want to go is a good question. But then behind him, what do you have? Because right now, Dorian Strong, who he had rotated with, is on IR, and there's serious questions about his neck. Where does that lead? Is he done for the year? We don't know. Max Harrison, well, he's not just going to walk in the door tomorrow and make some difference. Like, you know, the expectations, I think, are way too high on him to come in and just make this impact right away if people are expecting that. He's got to practice. He's got to get back in. He's missed so much time. Like, I just think it's a little off the charts there to think that. Jamarcus Ingram, Dane Jackson, like, what are you looking at there? It's not just the names, it's the numbers, because you have the two rookies that you were relying on to be contributors who aren't even going to be ready, basically. And then even at safety, you could definitely have a conversation about, do you have enough there? But I just know how they operate at safety enough. That's such a spot that means so much to them to have somebody that knows what they're doing, that unless it's a guy they really believe in to come in and be able to kind of stabilize a little bit, that knows the system, you know, the old D. Marlowe thing. I'm not suggesting D. Marlowe specifically, but you get my point.
Yeah.
You know, that something, someone like that. They do have Jordan Hancock, who they're still working. So I go a little away from safety and more to corner, and I do think that's the number one spot.
It's the kind of thing, and this hasn't really happened to the Bills yet. If they're really down bad in the secondary, then they could end up having to compensate in other ways on defense. And, I mean, the run defense has been hit pretty hard, too, so far this year. There's only so much you can do, I guess, Sal. But they have deservedly gotten credit for how good they've been against the pass. And maybe now, I mean, it was really just Diggs in this game that did any kind of damage. But there was damage. Maybe this is a point in time when we have to really wonder whether they can hold up.
Yeah, I do think, though, Mike, that the guys they've missed will matter. Like, I think that Ed Oliver will matter to this defense. It's not that he's going to suddenly come in and, you know, put up unbelievable numbers and sacks and things like that. But, like, I look what happened last week, which is you have the New England Patriots. At some point in that game, during the second half, the Patriots made a great adjustment. What they did was they put two backs on the field at the same time and said, go block the two Bills defensive ends along with the tackles. They double-teamed them. They double-teamed both defensive ends with a tackle and a running back because they knew that the Bills didn't have an interior pass rusher. You get at Oliver, that changes.
Yeah.
Now Joey Bosa is a little more free. Now Greg Rousseau is a little more free. Like, I do think those things matter to the passing game as well. And honestly, like, Michael Hoyt was very good in preseason and camp. I think they've had a plan for him to kind of utilize him in different ways, much like maybe like Lorenzo Alexander was a few years ago, and how when he had a really good year and you just kind of didn't know what he was going to do on play to play, and that'll allow him to move around. So again, not that it's going to make – they're not going to go from necessarily the 30th ranked run defense to the number five. I'm not saying that. But I do think those guys matter to the overall picture, and the D-line matters to the passing game as much as it does to the running game.
Sal Capaccio with me, Mike Shope. He's on the Western Hotline. Bulldog is off today. So are you thinking about Atlanta much yet? It's not a team that the Bills have much history with, even though it doesn't even matter going way back. Even recently, it's one game under Josh Allen. McDermott has two. There was a cool win in Atlanta when he was a rookie coach when they were a pretty big underdog. But, you know, that's still even itself a long time ago. I don't know. I don't really have, like, much of a thought, you know, built on the Falcons yet. There is talent, though. I mean, we know that. Skill positions, edge rushers, they have some talent.
They have a lot of talent on offense. I mean, you know, Bijan Robinson is awesome.
Elite.
And Drake London is great. And Kyle Pitts can be. I mean, sometimes that's a little hot and cold, right, as you know. But I think the deal with them, though, is having a second-year quarterback who is very up and down at times. And he's not – this is not a super mobile guy, right? This is not a guy that is going to get out and really hurt you in space. Now, I say that, and look what happened with Tua, right? He did have that a couple times. I think Sean McDermott and the Bills' defensive staff has done a really good job with young quarterbacks generally. I know Drake May had a nice day last week. I get that. Nice night. But they've generally done a good job, and I think that, you know, they'll be, you know, planning things to make sure that he can't hurt them and then concentrate on the run as much as possible. So no doubt about it. I don't know what to do with Atlanta because I look at some of their scores. I look at some of their games. They haven't played the most world-beating of quarterbacks even last week. Did Jaden Daniels play last week? I can't remember for sure. He
did not play against Atlanta.
Nah. That's right, Marcus Mariota did.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know really what to do with them. They got shut out by the Panthers. Like 30-0. I'm like, what happened? Now, the stats wouldn't kind of lend yourself to that as much, you know, if you look at the box score. But I'm like, how do you lose to the Carolina Panthers 30-0? But they have a nice game they played against the Bucks. They lost at the end. The Bucks are a good team. 23-20, the Bucks beat them. I just kind of don't know what to do with them. Their defensive numbers are awesome. They are allowing 135 yards a game against the pass. That's it. They're allowing 57 or 58% completion percentage. I just don't know how real that is based on who they're playing. But hey, same thing with the Bills. You can only play who's on your schedule. There's no shame in that. Whoever's in front of you, you got to shut down. And they've done that on defense.
How about the Bills offense on Sunday night, Sal? I mean, they scored 20 points. That they're used to scoring more than that. There were some good things. But was there something about what they were not able to do that's troubling?
Hold on to the ball. I mean, yeah.
Honestly,
Mike, like, I don't go – they didn't run the ball very well. I also want to give credit to the opponent. That's a really tough run defense. They actually did a lot better against the Patriots than most teams do against the Patriots, so I'm not concerned about that. I think they actually had a better day than most teams do against that front, even though it was tough on them. And to me, that's encouraging because even though you're going against a Falcon, and now the Falcons defense numbers wise is not great against the run. I think this is a James Cook game. Like, they're going to feed him and they're going to try and beat them with the run game and say, we don't have to even worry about, we're going to try and throw against you guys. We're going to beat you in the run game. So I think kind of that's the formula there. They didn't hold on to the ball. That's number one. They threw the ball away once. Josh Allen was a bad pass. He said it wasn't a bad decision. It was more on the pass. And I agree with that. Because if you look at the play, like, there's a spot to fit that ball in, but he threw it a little bit behind. Was it Shakir, maybe? The intended target. I can't remember for sure. I guess, Mike, the one thing that I would say is maybe separation, and people have talked about it. But again, you look at some of the film, there was some separation at times. Josh doesn't find Curtis Samuel on the one play that people have seen. But that seems like it's maybe the one thing that's like, eh, they didn't do it. Now, what did Joe Brady say? Joe Brady said, that's the best pair of corners we're going to face all year. So you know how he feels about it, at least with who they faced.
Did we talk about this on Monday? I don't know. We're going into sort of this stuff, right? What went wrong for the Bills in the game? How do you feel about New England holding up? The schedule is pretty much cake almost the entire way. Are they good enough to like really take advantage of that and make this a race?
I'll give you a hot take. You ready?
So ready.
I think the Saints beat the Patriots this weekend.
All right, so that's a no.
I could be wildly wrong, and sure, you could, you know, just go back and say, okay, you know, Sal was an idiot. And that's possible. I think they're a good enough team to make the playoffs? Yes. But the Patriots, by design, and we saw this on Sunday night, want to play tight games. They do not leave themselves much margin for error. By simply the way they want to play, it took three turnovers for them, three against the Bills. They won 2-1 on 3-1 on the Bills.
Yep.
For them to win on a last-second field goal. They lost a game where they turned the ball over five times. I mean, they just don't give themselves a lot of margin for error. And I think that's a dangerous way to live. What did Sean McDermott say? We can take clues on how, you know, Sean McDermott, people say he doesn't say anything. If you listen, he tells you a lot, actually. He said after the game, he said it multiple times. You could tell he's frustrated by it. He said, we played the game they wanted us to play. What he's telling you is, we don't want to get in that muck it up battle. As Chris Brown said, they like to muck it up, the Patriots. I love that. He said, but that's to me what he's saying. Like, we don't want to play that muck it up game. You know, we're too talented for that. Don't get into that stupid stuff, because that's what happens. You make a mistake here, make their mistake there. That's how they take advantage of you. It's the old left wing lock of the New Jersey Devils, honestly. That's what it is, Mike. That's how the Patriots want to play. And you can win, but man, you make a few mistakes and you lose.
You know, I think this makes a lot of sense. I keep thinking about their schedule and how they'll be favored in so many of these games, maybe, unless, you know, they have something changed about their roster or something. But that doesn't mean you're going to win them all.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
Browns
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If they go into every game as a 4-point favorite, you're not going to beat everybody. So, and that's they'll have to come close to that probably to keep up with the Bills. You'll have to get to, you know, an 11 or 12 win pace, I would think, to make this interesting. And they will play the Bills again late in the season. Mm-hmm. But I think that's right. I think regardless of philosophy, and this does, you know, these are correlated, but, you know, we're talking about the trade deadline. If New England had one more weapon, And Diggs is still older, and who knows how well he holds up here off that injury, looked great Sunday. But if they had one more piece to go with him, like a game-breaker type, everybody wants that, I guess, that would change it for me. Because I don't know if they have enough firepower to overcome like the close game point.
Agreed. And, I mean, already we have a bit of a sample on this. Now, granted, it's the first few weeks of the season, and I always say, like, you can't really judge as much, but they lost to the Raiders 20-13 because they made a couple mistakes, and the Raiders played a nice game where they didn't make as many mistakes. And then they beat the Dolphins by 6 points because they had, what, a kick return for a touchdown? The Dolphins outplayed them in that game statistically. Like, that's just they're going to play games exactly like they played against the Bills all year. And if the team like the Bills turns the ball over three times, they're going to win. If they don't, they're probably going to lose, and that's what it's going to come down to.
We might have talked about the Colts for a minute Monday, or no, it was you and I texted about the Colts yesterday, and like the possibility of a playoff game with Indianapolis. How legit are they for you?
Not as legit. I think that they do run the ball very well, no doubt. And they have Jonathan Taylor, who's really good. I think at some point, you know, they'll start to get through. Now, I think, let me look at their schedule, because I was looking at it the other day, actually.
It's interesting.
They have some opportunity. Yeah, I mean, they have some teams. It's really after their bye. Well, it's a little tougher, though. Yeah, they got the Chargers, the Steelers, the Falcons. But after their bye, they go Chiefs, Texans, Jags, Seahawks, 49ers, Jags. So, yeah, the thing about their schedule that stuck out to me, they've played one division game so far. That's the Titans.
Yep.
They play one more division game, the Titans. And then they have the Texans and Jags both twice each in the last 6 weeks of the year. Right? Like, that's – we know the way AFC South is. Like, that's really tough. You're going to battle back and forth. I liked your question. I thought about it. And, yeah, 100% I would take right now. Right now. You give me – you say it doesn't matter what happens, what seed you are. You go Bills at Colts right now in the AFC Championship. I'm absolutely taking that. When you asked it to Bulldog and he said, well, that means I don't get the one seed. But that's not the question, right? And I know where he's coming from. If you ask me, would you rather have the one seed or be guaranteed that? I still think I would be guaranteed that because it doesn't matter. I'm already there, right? But it does matter getting that week off, no doubt. But, man, I think that would be a dream scenario for the Bills to go. If you could guarantee right now they go to Indianapolis to face Daniel Jones and the Colts in an AFC championship game in a controlled environment versus any other spot on the board, I think that's a win. I think it's a win. I think it's a win for the Bills, but I think that's positive for me.
Yeah. I mean, Chris isn't here to defend his position today, but imagine saying no to that offer. Just like, all right, I'm here already. I'm in this
like,
game.
What's a better outcome? The better outcome would be at home against, and you're going to choose a bunch of teams, but you're not going to choose a bunch of teams.
Yeah, the Colts.
Right.
No, I could play them at home. I'd rather have that. And you make an interesting point about the weather, too. Yeah. Like, that could be a neutralizer. Yeah. Sure.
100%. Like, you just don't know what's going to happen in weather. And, you know, we'll see that again on Monday night. Now, last year, Bills went to Houston. They played in a dome and played poorly, very poorly, right? It didn't go very well for them. And we've seen, I think, against the Chargers, it didn't go very well when they played there last year, a couple years ago, whatever it was for Josh Allen. So it doesn't have to be that it's, oh my God, it's perfect like that. But I just think that when you get in that environment, like anything can happen. And yes, I respect the fact that they would be at home. It is tough. It is tough mentally for teams. Like if you gave me a choice, this would be a tough one. I think I would take this over at Indy. I would take Chargers at Bills because I don't think the Chargers are coming to Buffalo in January and winning in the AFC Championship game. Right? I think that's a tough deal for them. But I think for most teams, you just guarantee me AFC Championship, Bills at Colts. I think I'm taking that.
Bloom may be off the rose there in L.A. after their start, two straight losses. Okay, well, enjoy the baseball tonight, Sal. We'll talk again tomorrow.
You got it, buddy. Thank you.
Sal Capaccio with us. His appearances on WGR brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor, your place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Coming up next, the Falcons. I'm saying to Sal, I don't really have a position here yet on the Falcons. And Sal's kind of saying somewhat the same thing, thinking about some of their players, but not yet into the matchups. And we have until Monday. However, Joe Patrick, he can help us out. 92.9 The Fan in Atlanta. We'll get a little bit of a better feel maybe for the Bills Week 6 opponent Monday night here on WGR. This is Mike Shope. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.